for our reading this afternoon. Let's turn to Psalm 145. Psalm 145.
Nađene 145. psalam.
I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee. Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. May God bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer upon our knees. Truly always a blessing when we read Psalms, and David and others were able to convey the thoughts that we often have as we live out our lives, living in the Spirit and walking in his ways and pleasing him and having the desire to express ourselves in ways that would be reflective of the things that we are experiencing, and knowing that God is faithful and he does hear us as we come to him. And so we're thankful for Psalms written and ones such as this that we read this afternoon. There's a psalm earlier, Psalm 143, that speaks saying, I will meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. It's important that we spend the time and put forth an intentional effort that we would meditate upon the Word of God, that we would meditate upon who God is. So here the psalmist is saying, I meditate on all thy works. That the meditations that we would be having, are the thoughts that we ponder, that which we consider, that which we muse about, that's what we have going on through our minds, would be the works of God. That we would recognize who he is. And that we would be thinking about all these things that God has done. I muse on the works, on the work of thy hands. This is what needs to happen in our lives, that we would sometimes just get away from that daily grind of life, that we have our tasks, we have our obligations, and we're doing these things, that we would just simply put that aside, and that we would put an intentional focus, that we would meditate on God, that we would meditate on his works, that we would meditate who he is, and that that would bring us to an awe that we would have of him. The psalmist says, stand in awe and sin not. That we would come to that point where we are marveling anew, that these things that we're occupied with in this life, they have relatively little value. But then comes eternity. And so we are to meditate. We are to muse upon those things which God has done. Those things that are reflective of who he is. So the Word of God speaks of who God is, who the Lord is. And these things we want to consider. And we will never know the fullness of who God is in this life. We can't, as mere mortals, know in fullness of who God is. That's impossible. When we think of how it's written in the Word that there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one, that we think about these things and we marvel at it. These three are one. And yet we read through other portions of Scripture that they are distinct from each other as well. That when Jesus went up to heaven, ascended to heaven after he was here upon this earth, that the Holy Ghost came down. They are distinct of each other, but yet the Bible says that they are one. And we worship one God. And these things are marvelous. And these things are great. And we know that we serve this great God. And we glorify him. And these are the things that we ought to occupy our minds with. That we would meditate upon him and the work of his hands. The God, Jesus, while he was here upon this earth, said that God is a spirit. Again, something that we have to marvel at. That's very profound. And it's truth, because Jesus Christ has brought forth this word, and it's truth. And so we think of God as such, that he is the spirit, and that he is able to do all things. He's omnipotent. He can do all things. There's nothing that God cannot do. He can do all things. And then we think of him being omnipresent, that he's in all places all at once. So right now, among the 7 billion people that are here upon this earth, God is in the thoughts of each and every one. Those that are in Vietnam right now, perhaps they're even sleeping, or others across the broad face of this earth, God is there, and he knows their thoughts. Each and every one of our thoughts, he knows it. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He knows all things. He knows the thoughts and the intents of each and every one of us, all mankind. This is who God is. And we are to stand in awe. We are to marvel at who he is. He wants us to meditate upon him, to muse on who God is, to ponder and to consider, and to think upon him. And after we do such, then we can proclaim him. As the psalmist has said, he speaks over and over through here, throughout this psalm, where he says, I will extol thee, I will bless thee, I will praise thee, I will speak, I will talk. All these things that he's saying, that he speaks of God's goodness, it requires first that we ponder on him. We ponder who God is. We ponder his works. And the psalmist also says that my meditation of him shall be sweet. It's not that God should be this controversial figure, that does he exist or does he not exist, and what form does he exist. We should marvel simply at him, and that our meditation, our thinking of God, it would be sweet, that it would be pleasant. God created all things. The Apostle John writes, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. God created it all. The Lord created it all. And we marvel at his creation. And we cannot fully absorb and understand all things that God has created. Our ability to sense the presence of God is very, very limited. Our eyesight is limited. We have a bandwidth of light that we can comprehend and see and sense. We only have a small portion of wavelength that we can hear. That we have only so many receptacles of, that we can receive and know of who God is and all the, of his creation. We are limited, but there's far more vast creation of God and what and the things that he has done and the things that he has accomplished, and we don't even know it all. And then we have to muse and meditate upon the wonderful plan of salvation. That before this world was formed, God had a plan in place. That when our parents, Adam and Eve, sinned, that God already had a plan in place. And it would take deity, it would take the Lord Jesus Christ to come down here upon this earth, take upon himself flesh and blood, show us the Father's will, die upon a cross, the Son of God, to die upon a cross, that lamb would be perfect, that sacrifice would be perfect, no blemish. This is God's plan. And we need to meditate on it, think on it, muse on it, consider it, ponder it, think upon these things that God has done for us. And then, after that, we extol him. After that, we speak of his greatness. After that, we laud his name. And we speak and talk of the wonderful things that God has done for us all. So he it's a psalm of David. He says, I will extol thee, O God, my King, and will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. So he's speaking here of blessing God. And it's blessing God in the moment. Every day. And then he says, and forever and ever I will bless thy name. And after we consider God and all the things that the Lord has done, that's our response. This is what we desire to do. This is what we have an innate desire to glorify him, to magnify him, to bless him, to extol his great name for these things that he has done. I will praise thy name forever and ever. We will praise him while we are here upon this earth. We will praise him in the heavens. The book of Revelation speaks of four beasts that have six wings, and they cover themselves with their wings. And they're in the presence of God. And it says day and night, meaning forever and ever, they cry out, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and will be forever. And same thing here. We will bless the name of the Lord forever and ever. We will praise his name forever and ever because he is so worthy. And again, we get so caught up with life, and this is frustrating, and this isn't going well. And sometimes Jesus is saying, look up. Your redemption is drawing nigh. Think bigger than yourself. It's not about you. There is a great, great God that we are to serve and that we are to glorify and that we are to laud and we are to extol and praise and sing to him. He says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. This is the God we serve. His greatness is unsearchable. There have been great men in times past that God has allowed for men to become great. They've become great in their field, whatever that field was. Perhaps in the government, there's been great kings. There's been great athletes. There's been great people in academics. There have been great people. But they're very, very limited. The greatness of the Lord is unsearchable. Jesus says, with God, there shall be nothing impossible. God can do all things. This is the God we serve. This is the God that we are lauding. This is the God that we are meditating and musing on and reflecting on, that it's he whom we serve. And as we sang that song this afternoon, he dispenses aid to us. He gives us of his help. And then that's our confidence. This great God whom we serve, who can do all things, he will provide. He will provide. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. Again, now we consider the mighty acts of God. The things which he has done. He spoke the worlds into place. He put us on this earth. He gave us a sun to rule by day and a moon to give us light during the night. He gave us stars to behold and to see the vastness of his creation. And he did all these mighty acts. And we are to view them. We are to see them. We know that God destroyed the first earth, the earth, with a flood. Those were his mighty acts, where there was a deluge of water that came from underneath and from above and covered the earth. This was the mighty acts of God. And those eight souls that were in the ark, after they came upon the dry ground, had spread. And that story went on from generation to generation, that the atmosphere, everything's different now, post-flood. And then the people gather themselves together and they build this Tower of Babel and they say, lest God disperses us, and God destroys that tower and spreads them out and gives them different languages that they wouldn't understand each other, so that they would go their own ways. God did these mighty acts. These mighty acts, he did them all. And he told Moses, he goes, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and I will show him this great and mighty deeds that I will do. And he brought to them the frogs and the lice and the locusts and all those plagues with his mighty acts there in Egypt. God did these things, and we are to muse on them. We are to meditate upon them and to remember that with God, all things are possible. He can do all things. His greatness is unsearchable. Do we have this in our minds? Perhaps we need to bring it from the back of our minds to the forefront of our minds often, to be reminded of these things, of these mighty acts that God has done. And then we think of how the children of Israel were escaping from Egypt, and the Red Sea parted. Those were his mighty acts. And how he revealed himself on Mount Sinai. And all the people of Israel saw it. They saw the cloud on the mountain for 6 days there, Mount Sinai. They saw that power and the mighty acts of the Lord. And then the voice comes from the cloud and calls Moses up into the mountain. And Moses goes up there, and there's fire round about. They see all these things. And they beheld these mighty acts. And over throughout generations after, God delivered Israel. God delivered Judah. God delivered them. His mighty acts were being revealed to them. And his mighty acts are being revealed yet today. And we are to laud him. We are to glorify him for these great things that he has done. And we declare these mighty acts. After that meditation, then we make that declaration of his mighty acts. He says, further, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. The majesty of the Lord. The Bible speaks that when Jesus went up back into heaven, that he sat on the right hand of the throne of majesty. Majesty is given to the Lord. More than we can fully understand. More than that which we can comprehend. There's a verse in Nahum that speaks of God as being in the storm and in the whirlwind, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. This is the majesty of the Lord that we serve. The clouds are the dust of his feet. Truly his majesty is great, and he is to be lauded, and he is to be glorified for the majesty that he has. And then he speaks here of all his wondrous works. And over in this psalm it says, all thy wondrous works, thy wondrous works, thy great works. He makes wars to cease. This is the work of the Lord. He's made everything beautiful in his time. This is the work of the Lord. His works are great. We are to think upon those works that he has done. and then speak of them. In Ecclesiastes, it says, "As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all." We don't know the fullness of God. We can't comprehend and we can't take in all that God has done. How do bones grow in the womb of a woman? How does that all happen? God does these things, and we marvel at him, and we laud him, and we extol him for these great, great things that the Lord has done. Mighty are his works. Great are his works. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. This would be men. And then it speaks here of who the Lord is. And again, the Bible speaks of the Lord and the attributes of the Lord, but we cannot fully know who the Lord is. That cannot happen on this side of the grave. The Lord is gracious. This is who the Lord is. The Lord is full of compassion. The Lord is slow to anger. The Lord is of great mercy. And we can see that over and over through the scriptures. The Lord was so patient with Israel. He was so patient with evil men. And we see that the Lord is so patient with us. And he is of great mercy. He is full of compassion. We've come to know this and experience this and can validate that this is true. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. The works that he has made, everything that we see, he's good to all. Jesus says that the rain comes down from heaven on both the good and the evil. God does these wonderful things. He's good to all. And he allows all of us to see his glory, the great things that he has done. Yesterday, the sun was shining through a high layer of thin clouds, and there was a sun halo that appeared. You could see a bright halo right around the sun, and it's large, and it's beautiful. These are the mighty works of God. And it's just a small thing for him. But we behold it, and we glory at the Lord and the things that he does. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. So he's speaking here that I will bless the Lord today, every day, and forever and forever. And then he says that the saints shall all bless thee. And they shall speak of thy glory and of thy kingdom and of thy power, the power of God. All these things that are written here, it's hard to discuss them all and go through them all. All these things that who the Lord is, that we can meditate on and think and reflect in our minds who this great God is that we serve. We can talk of his power. We can see his power. And Jesus taught us in that prayer there that we can read in the Sermon on the Mount where he says, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." This is what Jesus taught us to pray, because the power is his. And we talk of his power and the things that God can do. You know, there's kings and throughout history, those that rose up against God. And the Bible says that God laughs at them. He will have them in derision. They can do nothing, but we know that God's power is great. To make known unto the sons of men his mighty acts, again, these mighty acts that he does, and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. This is the Lord that we serve. There have been empires that have come and gone. The Babylonian Empire, the Chaldeans, the Assyrians, the Romans, the Greek power, British power. All these have come and gone. But not the Lord. Not the Lord. Not his kingdom. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endures throughout all generations. Throughout all generations. We're citizens of his kingdom. This everlasting kingdom, this kingdom that endures throughout all generations, this is what we're a part of. Does that help that our difficulties of life kind of diminish in their profoundness, in how great it is in our lives when we sometimes think of that? We're a part of an everlasting kingdom, and knowing that his dominion, it endures throughout all generations. And then it speaks of the great things that the Lord has done here. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and he raises up those that be bowed down. Again, it's part of his great mercy and his compassion that he has and how he's good. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due seasons. Thou openest thy hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. Everything that God has given life to, he sustains. It's him that does that. He sustains the life of all. And all living things look to him. And he just opens his hand, and he just simply satisfies the desire of every living thing. He's righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. You could put the emphasis on the word all. You can put the emphasis on the word ways. Or you could put the emphasis on the word righteousness or holy. But it's all applicable. He is righteous. And he in every one of his ways, in everything that the Lord does, everything, he's righteous and he is holy. He does nothing wrong. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, all that call upon him in truth, and he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord delivers. The Lord helps. The Lord is our comforter. I'm thinking now of a verse in Corinthians that speaks that he is our deliverer, and he has delivered us in times past, and we can witness to that. He delivers us today, and we know that he will yet deliver us in the future as well. He provides for us. As we call upon him in truth. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. He knows all that love him. His greatness, which is unsearchable, he knows what's in our thoughts. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows our desires. He knows our failings. He knows the gifts that he's given unto us. But he preserves those that love him. And it says, but all the wicked will he destroy. And so my mouth shall speak, because of all these things, my mouth shall speak of the praise of the Lord. We're just to praise the Lord for who he is. Again, our limited receptacles in our being only can capture a finite portion of who God is. We can't know him in fullness. We can't know him in fullness. There are things unseen, unheard, unexperienced that God has done, but yet we haven't known of it. But we can speak the praise of the Lord. After we consider all these good things that God has done, we can speak of these great things. What a great God we serve. What a great God we serve. And we are to stand in awe, and then it is to bring us that we would sin not. And then he closes here the psalm by saying, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. We're to bless his holy name. Again, going back now to the first verse, it says that I would bless the Lord forever and forever, and that we would bless him every day. And then the saints would bless the Lord. And then he closes this chapter by saying, and yea, and let all flesh bless the Lord because of who he is and the great, great things that he has done. What a wonderful, wonderful God we serve. Omnipotent, omnipresent, can do all things. His greatness is unsearchable, and we extol him. His mercy and his goodness and his righteousness, all these things define him, and we just want to laud his name and glorify him for all that he has done. Amen.
What a beautiful chapter of the greatness of God. And when we get to verse 20, it says, "The Lord preserveth all them that love him." And so we read of his greatness and his goodness, and it says that he preserves all who love him. But then he says, "But all the wicked will he destroy." And these two hymns that we sang exactly about these two aspects of God. It says, we thank God for he is gracious, his goodness shall endure. And then we read, great is the Lord, his name is holy. His name is holy. All the world is full of his glory. And then the first hymn we sang, the words of, says, O thou holy one, thou all gracious one. It says, grace, so we sing of his holiness. Then he says, grace hast thou given, life in thy heaven, speaks of his grace. So in this verse 20, God's grace is described. And on the flip side, it talks about his holiness, his government, which will never interfere with his grace. Neither will his grace interfere with his holiness and government. How? It's all kept in perfect balance through Jesus Christ. Look upon him. Look upon him. Accept him. He is the one who removes this wrath of his holiness, where God cannot have sin in his presence. Cannot. Who through? Through Jesus Christ. This is the marvelous grace that we speak of. Marvelous grace of our Lord. It says a grace that is greater than all our sin. A grace that will cleanse from within. The heart is made clean by his grace through belief in him. It's all there for us, dear ones. It's all in Jesus Christ. So our prayer is this afternoon that every one of us would look upon him, acknowledge his holiness, and fall upon his mercy and grace so that we also could truly sing this psalm of praise as David had laid it out so beautifully. To extol his name, the only way you and I can do that, the only way is through a personal relationship with him, meaning I've given my will over to you, Lord. Make it thine. May he bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.